happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And our opening sequence is back. The advance in technology. That's because Rich is back in the studio at MNN. I'm Ann Northrup, still at home. And onward with Gay USA.
Well, I was getting into trouble. We're happy, but we're very sad about the news that we have to open with, because the month of July has opened with the murders of three more trans women of color.
It's just escalating. It's unbelievable. So we'll tell you about that. And we'll also tell you about how a car plowed into a Black Lives Matter protest on a highway in Seattle and killed a non-binary activist, Summer Taylor.
That woman who filed a false police charge against her friend Chris Cooper, well, she's been charged by the Manhattan DA.
Two more bad Supreme Court decisions this morning, letting religious schools discriminate for any reason, whatever they want, and letting employers deny contraceptive insurance coverage if they have religious or moral objections.
It covers just about everything.
It does.
Large gatherings of unmasked young people, mostly younger people, LGBTQ and non-LGBTQ on the July 4th weekend, is fueling concerns about COVID-19 spread.
The 23rd International AIDS Conference is on online, and we have lots to report, including a promising treatment you take once every 8 weeks, and the first, I'm a little skeptical about this, but the first possible cure from medications as opposed to bone marrow transplants or stem cells.
Good reasons to be skeptical. We'll tell you how people with HIV who take antiretroviral drugs are faring with COVID amidst concerns about their medication supply worldwide.
Yeah. And Halle Berry is the latest to make a dumb mistake. She talked about how eager she was to play a transgender man in a new project and then pulled back after the internet informed her of the problems with that.
Did she sign that letter in Harper's?
No. Not that I know of.
I'm not going to talk about that, I don't think.
No.
All right, we do start with horrible news of more trans deaths, murders. The first one we're going to talk about is Bree Black, a Black trans woman in Pompano Beach, Florida, 27 years old. Police found her on the ground with a gunshot wound, and she died at the scene shortly thereafter.
Terrible. And some, you know, misgendering her, some confusion about her name, but they finally straightened that out. And then comes news out of Louisiana of two more killings in Baton Rouge. Drea McCarty, another Black trans woman, murdered. Do you have details of that?
Well, that one hasn't been, well, the last I read is it hasn't been ruled technically a homicide yet, but, you know, it likely.
And also in Amity City, Shaky Peters, another trans woman, murdered.
This is 20. There have been 22 such murders in the United States just this year. It seems like an escalation even from last year.
It does, and yet it doesn't. You know, this is not something where we're looking for a serial killer.
No.
Or some kind of national plot. We're talking about just the fundamental hatred and fear of trans women, particularly Black trans women, who are just routinely murdered at this point at an escalating rate.
Their lives are extremely devalued. They enter often into enterprises which, unable to get work in the mainstream, they end up working the streets and things. This is part of it. at the hands of, you know, people who are rough characters who don't value their lives and just use them. I think that's part of it. I think we need much more of an explanation to what's going on here.
And that description, while common, is not universal.
Right.
A lot of these women we find do have jobs and do have standing in the community.
Yes.
And yet they, you know, become involved or encounter mostly cis straight men who freak out or are worried about embarrassment about their association and or have personal conflicts with them. And the answer is murder. And there's another one in Philadelphia, Tatiana Hall, another trans woman murdered there.
Right.
It's an endless list.
And then there's what happened in Seattle. Summer Taylor, a white, non-binary person, was killed when a car drove into a protest that they were having for Black Lives Matter. They were part of the Black Femme March. Summer worked at Urban Animal Veterinary Hospital and was a frequent participant in protests. And this is very much like the case of Heather Heyer in Charlottesville in 2017, when that guy plowed that car into the crowd and killed her.
Yeah, there was a small, not a huge demonstration on the interstate, Interstate 5 in Seattle, and the police had closed that section of the interstate to allow the march to happen. And some guy comes along and he just decides to circumvent the barrier and barrel on through. Did he intend to hit her and her friend? Them and their friend? I don't know. There's video of it. It's really tough to watch. He certainly was speeding along and plowed right into them and kept going. Had to be chased down by someone who went after him. And now he is under arrest. In fact, I think he was released from custody. Let me double check that. I don't have that, but maybe right. Someone else.
Well, you were talking about people freaking out over trans people and gay people.
Yeah.
There's that famous case in Detroit, which has been resolved now. This kid, Devin Robinson, 19 years old, he got oral sex by multiple people at a party. And then he feared family and neighbors finding out. So he goes back to the party, killed two gay men and a trans woman in 2019, two others wounded. He was just sentenced to life without parole. Killed were Alunte Davis, 21, Timothy Alancher, 20, who were gay, and a trans woman, Paris Cameron, 20 years old. So he will be spending the rest of his life in prison.
This is also why we talk about the need for early education on these issues, because people grow up with these terrible prejudices and ignorance, and that peer pressure, fear in the family leads to these kinds of situations.
And the mere fact that we can't talk about it makes it shameful. We
exactly.
have to make it not shameful.
So I'm in favor of throwing out geometry class and substituting human relations to create a different kind of human interaction.
All right. Now let's talk about the case of
Christian Council.
Yes, and we have video on this, but this happened on Saturday. Christian Council, that's his name.
Let's show the picture of him first,
right.
And how beaten up
after a gay bash.
This is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He and a friend drove up to his house in a suburban area. And when they got there, there was a pickup truck or something blocking the roadway. And so he honked a couple of times to get the pickup truck to move out of the way. And the truck did move, and they drove into the parking spot. And when they got out of their car, the guys in the pickup truck, or maybe it was a man and a woman.
Yes, man and a woman.
Man and a woman were standing there waiting for them.
Christian Council says all he did was honk his car horn at a truck parked in the middle of the road, and it turned into a two-on-one beatdown while the suspects yelled homophobic slurs.
I tried to fight back, but he didn't stop until my arms fell to my side and I was totally unconscious.
Christian and a friend were heading home for the night when he says a car parked in the middle of the road was blocking his space. He had to honk his horn twice before they finally moved and he was able to park.
My friend and I got out of my car. They were waiting behind my car, and when they saw us and saw what we looked like, they said, "Oh, are you two a couple of..." and used a gay slur.
First a woman approached Christian, then a man, and it didn't take long for things to get physical.
Assaulted him, beat him up, left him laying on the ground. When officers arrived, he was still on the ground. All of the involved parties were still there.
Christian left bloody and bruised, a gash below his right eye and swelling on his head and body.
I'm in a lot of pain, and I'll never forget the feeling of my neck snapping back and forth every time that he would hit either side of my head.
It's not mentioned in the report, but Christian says the couple was yelling slurs during the entire attack, to the point where he believes that was their main motivation.
It was clear that when they could tell that my friend and I were gay, or that we appeared to be gay, that they knew that they could do what they did to me.
The two suspects, Amory Dickerson and Bennett Stone, arrested for misdemeanor assault and battery, but were released without being booked into the county jail.
It sure felt like a hate crime. I mean, why would you beat someone and use those kinds of terms and words if that wasn't your motivation?
Now, Christian says he didn't know his attackers, but he was told they were dropping off a friend at the building across the parking lot from him. He just hopes he never sees them again. Live in Edmond, Chase Horn.
So, I mean, the police didn't seem to take the anti-gay stuff very seriously, and Christian is going to initiate a civil case against them.
Yeah, these people were released. They weren't booked, even for the assault. Unbelievable. You saw how injured he was, and right. Yet this was treated as, some meaningless parking lot fight.
Well, speaking of Christians, Christian Cooper, in the case, which I'm going to turn this off again.
Thank you.
The Manhattan District Attorney, Cy Vance, has filed charges against Amy Cooper, the woman who filed a false police report against him. She's been given a desk appearance ticket. This is when she said an African-American man is threatening me in the park, which he was not doing. She's going to be arraigned October 14th. Now, if convicted, she could receive a conditional discharge or be sentenced to community service or a year in prison or counseling rather than jail time. Her lawyer says she suffered enough. Her lawyer, who also represents Alex Jones...
As she's InfoWars.
And is misunderstood. Now, Chris Cooper gave an interview to the New York Times and issued a statement and saying he is not cooperating with this prosecution.
But she's suffered enough.
But this is the state's case against her. It's not Chris Cooper against her. It's the state's case.
Well, I think this should have been the first thing that happened instead of all the other stuff that happened to her. I mean, I don't know whether she should have lost her job. And did she lose her home?
I don't know. She lost her dog, but she got the dog back.
But I think, she did file a false police report and she play acted the whole thing. She escalated her terror in making the call, and it's all there on tape. She starts fairly calmly and then she gets herself all worked up, and it's all nonsense. It's all a lie. And that certainly is filing a false police report.
Speaking of lies, that gay pro-Trump group Walk Away, they're called, because they want us to walk away from the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
You know, they sued the center. This guy, Brandon
Straka,
he had a lawsuit against Gordon Bieferman and Jason Rosenberg, our friend Jason Rosenberg. Beat up at the demonstration by the cops. But he had a suit against them for defamation. And it was dismissed by Judge Catherine Freed, who I've known for 30 years. She called it legally baseless nonsense. And
provocation. He does things to get attention to himself.
His group was given a you know, an opportunity to meet at the community center. But when everything came out about their hideousness, the center said, we don't want it here. Which they're,
well, he rented a room. He rented a room to run this meeting about telling Democrats they should walk away, gay Democrats they should walk away from the Democratic Party and all be Republicans because Trump is such a great guy and so pro-LGBTQ.
Right.
So people just lost their minds over this and condemned the center for renting them the space, him the space. And the center saw the wisdom of its ways and de-rented him the space. So then he sued. Now, not only has his case been thrown out of court, but then he performed this whole thing on an American Airlines flight where he got on the flight and the flight attendant said, would you please put on a mask? And he threw a fit over it because that's what he does. He throws a fit.
No. She said, sir, is there a reason that you're not wearing a mask? Is some medical reason? He said, yes, sanity.
So then he gets thrown off.
He was on his way to the Tulsa Trump rally.
Yes, yes, and flight to Dallas and then Tulsa. So then he claims he'd been totally harassed and being thrown off the flight. But there happened to be a New York Times reporter on the flight who then publicly said the guy was just a total jerk. No one harassed him. He was just trying to get attention, and he's gone.
So now we're probably going to get sued as well just for talking about it.
Oh, geez, I hope so. And somewhere in this category is also you know, there have been all these things about Chinese owners of Grindr and were they collecting information on users and how secure was it? I put this all in the violence category somehow. But there are new owners, straight men, who say, we're from L.A. and we're going to protect your security. It's all going to be fine. No one's going to collect any data. It's all going to be very safe. So
I don't believe any of that about any internet company.
No, of course not. You have to either decide that you're okay with losing all your privacy or, you know, don't use it.
Well, I do have all these older, I mean, I'm 66 myself, but these are older friends in their 80s, and they don't even like clicking on links online, and they're just nervous about everything. But now, of course, under lockdown, they're complaining that they're bored. And I said, well, you've got to start trusting somebody that computer is going to give you some entertainment because there's a lot on there.
I can tell them a list of TV shows to watch.
Well, sure. I said, when someone that you trust gives you a note that you can trust came from them, because, you know, on Facebook all the time, people are sending me things. Oh, look, you're online in this video. You know that one, right? And it's a
no, because I don't play with Facebook. You're the Facebook person.
Don't click on those.
Well, often though, those videos are masked with names of friends you do know.
Yes, it's coming from a friend I know, and yeah. I write back and say you've been hacked.
You know? No, but even the bots or whatever, yes, will go into someone's address book and steal that. I'm going to hang up on this person.
All right. I'm going to talk up. Can we talk a little bit about what Trump did this week?
Sure. Go right ahead.
All right. So
sorry.
Housing and urban development is changing the 2016 equal access rule that was updated by Obama to require shelters to house people based on gender identity. Trump is now allowing shelters to limit admissions to sex assigned at birth. But this means that a shelter that only accepts people assigned female at birth can't refuse transgender men because under the Supreme Court decision, shelters can't discriminate based on sexual orientation or gender identity. So shelters that refuse someone must refer to a shelter that will accept them. But of course, in many areas of the country, there ain't any other shelters.
Well, are you referring to the Supreme Court decision about employment?
When they issued these guidelines, they had to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about sex, so you know, this is from Ben Carson, who calls he's the head of HUD, Housing and Urban Development. He calls LGBT cue protections, extra rights, and uses biblical principles to justify misgendering transgender women. These changes are going to go into effect within 60 days.
The only answer is to get rid of these people.
Absolutely.
Get rid of them.
I read about Masha Gessen, you know, has a new book out, lesbian, writes about authoritarianism.
And non-binary.
Is that right?
Yep.
Thank you. They say that the economic crisis is Trump's ticket to full-on fascism. The economic crisis.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's look at these Supreme Court decisions from this week, and then we'll go to the COVID news. So the Supreme Court this morning, as we are taping on Wednesday or appearing live on Facebook, a couple of terrible rulings that I'm sorry to say were decided 7-2 with Justices Kagan and Breyer joining the conservative members of the court.
The court is basically saying in a school case, Catholic school teachers are if the school says that they're ministers of religion because they pray before the class or whatever, that's up to the school, then the institution can discriminate on any basis. This isn't a gay case. Any basis whatsoever. The woman suing them had breast cancer. Is that a moral failing?
It's an expensive condition that they don't want to pay for.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it is absolutely insane. I mean, Justice Sotomayor wrote a brilliant dissent in this case and said, you know, you've completely crossed the line here. You know, it's just ending it up, letting it be a much more theocratic state.
That seems to be the aim, but very discouraging that Kagan and Breyer would go along with it.
Yes, based on 2 weeks ago, you got to give them federal and state money if they want it.
So this really does just open the door wide. There have been cases in the past where courts attempted to make distinctions between who was an actual minister and who was totally secular in teaching in these schools. But the Supreme Court has said, forget it. We're not making those decisions. The school or the church or whomever can make those decisions. It's up to them. We are not allowed to interfere. They can do whatever they want, including operate without paying any taxes.
And I would say this is how, this deference to religious institutions is how you had the molestation crises. We can't look into that. That's over there. They can do whatever they want. And they did. And you've got to apply the civil law. Look, when I was on the City Human Rights Commission, we had cases of sexual harassment by ministers of employees. And we found for the people who were suing. What's going to happen to that now? Oh, that's part of our religion. Go away.
Ministerial. So that's not good news at all. And
the other one was the weakening of Obamacare. Obamacare, it required that you cover contraception in your health plans, and if you didn't, you had to farm it out somehow. But the Little Sisters of the Poor said, we don't even want to make a referral to anybody else. We don't want anything to do with it. You've got to stop this. So basically, here's where it stands because of this Supreme Court decision, 7-2. If you run a secular agency or corporation, you don't like the idea of women having contraception. You know, not abortion, contraception. You can cut it out of your health plan. You don't have to pay for it anymore. Well, this is just, to me, a big argument for Medicare for all, government covering all of this stuff. This is insane about you're leaving women in the lurch this way.
Yes, they specifically said it doesn't have to be strict religious principles. If you have moral objections.
Your conscience.
Yes. Yeah.
What does your conscience say?
Yeah. Well, all right. So back to the COVID crisis.
Okay.
So a number of stories here. First of all, we're happy to see that our old friend Richard Quest, the CNN anchor, announced that he had COVID and is recovering. We have a picture of him here. He used to work with us at Gay USA.
Richard, was diagnosed in April with having COVID, and he suffered greatly. He said not as much as, obviously, as some people, and that he now tests negative. He says, but I still, it's April, I still don't feel well. This thing does this because it does a lot of damage to your systems, inflammation, all this kind of stuff, which lingers. And are you going to recover from it? Aren't you going to recover from it? Even if you've gotten rid of the virus, you know, test positive for the virus anymore. So this is a caution for all of us, which is
they're talking about long-term lung damage, perhaps permanent, that the virus causes. And then, you know, that's what you have is long-term lung damage. And that could be without really being symptomatic, I think. It's a reason everyone needs to be tested and treated as early as possible, as we've often said. Now, in other news related to it, some good news out of a study in Spain of 78,000 people who have COVID. It couldn't have been all 78,000, but those who are HIV positive and on drugs, specifically nucleotide reverse transcriptase inhibitors, are less susceptible to the virus.
They are. 30 out of 10,000 tested positive if they were themselves HIV positive, 41.7 if not HIV positive. So it's not total protection taking these drugs, these antiretroviral drugs, but it is a factor.
I see as I read my notes, it's really a study of 78,000 people to see who had it, who didn't, what the factors were, and those who were HIV positive and on drugs, including Truvada, were less likely to get it. But now there's the whole controversy about, as we have spikes in infections, young people in particular gathering in large crowds, unmasked, undistanced, and gay men partying on Fire Island have been a particular target, but are they really any worse than anybody else?
Well, it got Governor Cuomo so upset when he saw the pictures that he sent the state police out there to break things up. And people who are living on Fire Island who were trying to be safe were appalled by some of what they saw. A big gathering on the beach. Now, the picture that's been put out of the people on the beach apparently was taken in June, but all right, but there was a July 4th gathering on the beach of a lot of people who weren't wearing masks, and there were private parties that were being held. And this is, I haven't been out to Fire Island for a couple of years, but the last time I went, and I've only been once in the last 30 years, but when I was there in this house, the door stays open, people come in and out all day long, sometimes people you don't know very well. Oh, can we look at your house? Blah, 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 blah. It's just an ongoing party, but you can't do it that way now.
And the people who are long-term residents are also saying a lot of the parties and crowds are people who are just out for the day who could be coming from anywhere. But, you know, COVID isn't about who you know any more than HIV is. It's a virus. It could be people you know or people you don't know.
Well, people saw that big gathering, I'm going to make an assumption, mostly heterosexual at Diamond Lake in Michigan. And as I say, I do think most of this has to do with young people. It's what I observe in our own neighborhood. I go to the park, gaggles of young people gathering together, not wearing masks. They know each other, but they're not part of the same family. They don't all live together. Some of them do, some of them don't. I mean, when I see people, you know, in New York, we've opened up, as you have in many places in the country, people eating on the streets. Well, people, old friends are meeting each other. They're sitting across a table, and they're yakking like this. And to me, that's not the safest thing to do either. It's outdoors, which is better than being indoors.
Look, we were at the march. We were wearing masks. We were keeping our distance, as we are today.
That's why we're not wearing masks. We're in the bedroom, but different bedrooms,
separate buildings. At any rate, it's scary stuff. In part because New York lived through this in the early days in really, really scary times when very little.
Kevin Sessoms, who's a brilliant poster on Facebook, he said a lot
of... Right, author.
Yes. Kevin Sessoms said a lot of it has to do with people not being able to cope with being alone. They just... I mean, I understand it. For a lot of people, being together, being social, especially when you're younger, you know, is a very deep desire, and they've thrown caution to the winds.
In the hugest days of the AIDS epidemic, people saw their friends sick and dying. And with COVID, even though a lot of people are getting sick and dying, I'm not sure that people are seeing them in their cohorts of friends.
Especially younger people. And, you know, we work with younger people around AIDS education. That was quite a challenge because they didn't see the disease in their age group. We had a kid who died at Hanford Martin in the Harvey Milk School. He was only about 18, but that was rare. Most of them didn't show any symptoms. Somebody posted a meme about all this stuff with COVID and said, wearing a mask isn't a political statement. It's an IQ test.
Yes.
And then, of course, we've talked about Fire Island in the Lake of Michigan, but then there are the Trump rallies, which are ongoing. He still wants to do that.
New Hampshire this weekend. And, you know, now Herman Cain is sick. Kimberly Guilfoyle has it. And Bolsonaro, I'm different from everyone else. President of Brazil also has.
I'm surprised by it because, you know, I've always said the reason Trump hasn't gotten it is because it only affects human beings. Now, in Atlanta, the Heretic Gay Nightclub, they have had to suspend events after a June 20th dance party led to COVID diagnoses for two and dozens more feeling sick. No masks. You know, Georgia eased their restrictions on April 24th, and the infections have skyrocketed there.
Now, the drug companies are once again interesting in this pandemic. Gilead is making deals with pharmaceutical companies around the world, including seven different companies in India, to license manufacture of their drug remdesivir for COVID, which has reportedly helps lessen, you know, ameliorate the disease. They've sold their entire supply to the U.S., but they're licensing it around the world to other companies. But really, that's just a way to prevent generic versions being made around the world. So they're maintaining their profits from it, even though, you know, it should be available cheaper in a generic form. But they're limiting that.
And I'm alarmed by the billions of dollars.
Yes.
These companies that have never produced a vaccine for anything that's gotten online. And they're being given like $2 and $3 billion to produce 100 million doses of it.
And the syringe companies are getting millions or billions too. And I can't help thinking that, you know, Fauci says this is so we'll be prepared to act immediately when we find the vaccine. Well, again, 30 years of HIV and no vaccine. So will we come up with one for COVID? I hope so.
For producing empty vials that we're going to put this thing in, but we don't know what's going to go into it.
We do not. And then we find that the Paycheck Protection Program, which is supposed to give money to keep small businesses or medium businesses alive.
We haven't gotten any here.
No, none. But here's who that has gotten money from the federal government during COVID. The American Family Association, $1 to $2 million. The Center for Arizona Policy, which is another right-wing group, $150,000 to $350,000.
Concerned Women for America.
America! Similar amount. The James Dobson Family Institute, $350,000 to $1 million. The First Liberty Institute and Liberty Council.
It's a house of horrors.
Excuse me?
It's a house of horrors.
Pacific Justice Institute and the Family Leader Institution.
And all the anti-tax groups.
And it just looks like the Trump administration is taking a shovel and taking every penny out of the U.S. Treasury and giving it to all their friends on the evangelical right wing, all the right wing legal groups, all their friendly pharmaceutical companies. It's just flowing out the door to all of them.
And if you want to know how Trump really feels about us, he has proposed no out gay people for the United States Garden of Heroes that he has done an executive order about. Though it does include George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, and Abraham Lincoln, about whom, as we know from Larry Kramer, are gay or bisexual. It also includes anti-LGBT bigots like Ronald Reagan, Antonin Scalia, and Billy Graham.
How do we tear down these statues before they're even built?
Get a new government.
All right. All right, here's some good news. In Somerville, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston, the political government there has decided to allow polyamorous, I was going to say couples, but that's against the
point. Relationships.
Thank you. Polyamorous relationships can be registered relationships and receive the benefits of marriage as married couples do.
Health benefits, hospital visitation. Look, I mean, certainly if you live with a group of people, you should be able to visit them in the hospital.
Yeah.
But this gets me, at some level. It gets me about couples too. How about just giving everybody health care? Not saying it's dependent on whether you can get somebody to agree to say, I love you. I think this applies to like people living together, like maiden aunts and things like that. Things, right? Doesn't it?
No, it means you don't have to define it, I think. I think any...
Just people in polyamorous relationships.
I don't know.
It's households. Again, let's just skip all these steps and get to health care for all. No one have to have these arguments.
And not having gatekeeping on hospitals.
This is a town that didn't even have a domestic partners law a couple of weeks ago. And then they said, well, let's just do it for everybody. But it's the first one that recognizes people in multiple relationships.
Yes. Now, Virginia has just put into effect the Virginia Values Act, which gives all sorts of new rights to LGBTQ people and relationships and everything else. But in anticipation of this, a wedding photographer in Norfolk, Virginia, with the help of the Alliance Defending Freedom, has preemptively sued. No gay couple has come to him asking for wedding photos, but he's suing, saying that he should not, this is a violation of his religious rights, that this law is going into effect, and he might be asked to photograph a same-sex wedding.
Well, in Kentucky, though, Governor Andy Beshear, Democrat there, issued a non-discrimination executive order for state policies, adding sexual orientation and gender identity, cover state services, and employment. That has some consequences, and I do want to put a plug in for something called VoteAmerica.com, all right? You go to VoteAmerica.com. We'll put it in our email, but you can remember that. And you can find out, are you registered? How do you get a ballot? How do you register if you're not registered? Absentee, all that stuff. Thank you, Philippa from Philadelphia, for telling us about this, because it covers all the states. Just go to VoteAmerica.com. I did it. It said I'm registered.
And for those of you who live in states where there's a lot of purging of the voter rolls, it's really important to double check that you are registered, especially
in Iowa. Iowa threw you off the rolls if you haven't voted in the last 2 years. A lot of states have things about 4 years because people only voted in presidential elections. So if you didn't vote in the last 4 years since the last presidential election, you need to re-register.
Yeah, so check that out, VoteAmerica.com. I want to thank the baseball player Ian Desmond of the Colorado Rockies, as baseball is starting a shortened season now. He's decided to sit out the season. He is sick of white supremacy on the team, racism, sexism, and homophobia. And he's just decided the heck with it. I am not going to be part of this year. I'm going to speak out about it, and I am not going to play. And it's certainly the kind of stuff that we assume takes place in locker rooms all over the world. in spite of protestations to the contrary by the people who run these things. So congratulations to him for speaking up.
Okay. Down to our last 18 minutes. Halle Berry is speaking out, too. She gave an interview, and she just happened to mention, oh, the next role I'm going to play is a woman that transitioned into a man. But she got a lot of pushback on that on social media. And she says the transgender community should undeniably have the opportunity to tell their own stories. And she vowed do that and let them. There's a lot less insistence on gay roles only being taken by LGBT, gay or lesbian actors, although there's some. But it's certainly on the transgender front, that's become a thing, that you don't take these roles if you are not transgender yourself.
Another story of speaking up. There I am innocently watching a golf tournament last weekend, coming to us from Detroit with no fans, because that's what they do these days. But I hear this noise in the background, and I'm thinking, are there fans there somewhere? Are they leaning over the fence or something? So I listen more closely, and it is people chanting Black Lives Matter. In Detroit, the protesters have figured out that there was a live broadcast going on, so they positioned themselves outside the golf course and started yelling, and it all came through on the broadcast
program. I remember back in the 60s when Gary Player, who was a righteous white man from South Africa, who said he was against apartheid, but he lived in South Africa, he would get drinks thrown on him on the course and things like that.
In Chicago, a longtime bar, Little Jim's, the oldest bar in Boys Town, 1975, yes, is closing. Maybe in part because of COVID, but they may sell to the Howard Brown Health Center next door, which will allow the health center to double its space on North Halsted.
Now, the Stonewall Bar, which is not the original, was also in great jeopardy, and the Gill Foundation has put up $250,000 to try to keep it afloat.
Well, there's a lot of controversy about it, but I think it's an important symbol, so I'm not against it.
Revolution was in the streets.
International news?
Yes. In Turkey, President Erdogan gave a vicious anti-LGBT speech on June 29th, accusing us of trying to poison young people. And he was doing it because he was backing up the head of what they call the Red Crescent, which is part of the International Red Cross, who has also been making similar statements, to the point that the International Red Cross is saying, we don't talk like that in this business. Don't do that.
I just realized my Wi-Fi was off. I hope I've been broadcasting. Maybe I've been broadcasting.
I'm seeing you.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
I don't know how it worked, but it is. All right. I'm sorry. What did you just say in international news?
Turkey. And then in Germany, they're drafting a bill to address the injustices to all the LGBT service members.
Yes.
who were cut. Because they, in many cases, they were just not promoted. They were given lower pay pensions. So I hope there's going to be some kind of restitution there.
In Montenegro, the parliament has legalized same-sex civil partnerships. This is part of their move to be accepted into the European Union. There are opponents to this, however, who say that this move is imposed by global world Satanists.
Well,
nice to know that there's still an opposition.
I was encouraged to see South Africa delete a conscientious objection option that let marriage officials, people who perform them, off the hook if they wanted to reject gay couples.
And in Russia, the voters, as we know, backed Putin having a presidency for life. But part of that vote was also condemning and refusing the possibility of same-sex marriage. Slipped in under the...
And Putin mocked the U.S. embassy for flying the rainbow flag. He said it reflects the sexual orientation of the staff there. He's making a joke about it.
But we're burying the lead. Gabon has legalized.
I'm not finished with Putin.
I'm sorry.
He's also concerned about rainbow ice cream. I swear. He said this.
I'm so sorry I interrupted you before you said that. In Africa, West Africa, Gabon, the Senate has joined the House in decriminalizing homosexuality, and the president has signed that. The ban was only voted in 2019, so it had a short life, but now it's gone.
In Poland, the reactionary president there, Duda, is in a runoff with the Warsaw mayor for re-election on July 14th. I believe it's July 14th. He came out for a constitutional ban on adoption by LGBTQ couples. This is Trump's buddy. But kudos to Anne's people in Scotland. They're set to become the first country to include LGBTQ history in the curriculum countrywide in 2021. It's an effort to attack homophobia and discrimination, what we talked about, breaking the silence.
In the Netherlands, the House there approved adding sexual orientation and disability to the non-discrimination parts of their constitution. They already forbid discrimination on the basis of sex, which they do define as including gender identity.
Yes, they do.
And in India...
That has to be ratified in 2021 by a new legislature.
In India, the federal police are going to hire trans people, defined as third gender people, which is how they refer to it in India.
And one of their states, Odisha, is giving monthly pensions to trans people in their efforts to assist people who were in trouble, including the destitute elderly and the differently abled and widows. So they expect 5,000 trans people to get it.
They ought to be doing more of that in this country.
Please.
In France, Paris held an unpermitted march for Black Lives Matter, as we did.
LGBTQ march, yeah.
Yes, and it also happened in L.A., San Francisco, and Chicago. It's a growing movement and against the police, and one person said, oh, everyone hates the police.
In Chile, the Senate there okayed reproductive rights and technology for same-sex couples. And a civil registry recorded a gay couple as parents for their kids for the first time.
And in China, in Beijing, a court ruled that a trans woman was illegally fired by her employer, an e-commerce site like Amazon, after she had had gender confirmation surgery. So that's a big deal in China.
In Tunisia, the story we've been telling you about, those two men who were convicted of sodomy, they now are getting 2 years in prison for it.
Terrible. So should we go to the AIDS conference?
Please. Well, just by way of prefacing, they're now saying that 38 million people have HIV in the world today, and there were 640,000 deaths in 2019. And so few countries are meeting their goals of reducing this to near, 10% levels or whatever.
And that's going to become even tougher in the COVID epidemic. They say only half of HIV-positive kids are getting medicine. And COVID, they say, will set HIV back 10 years. The lockdowns of countries around the world mean that supplies, drugs, whatever, are not getting from country to country. 73 countries say they are running out of anti-HIV drugs. They can't ship things. Workers are being diverted to COVID. Clinics are closing, and there are just no medications in a lot of areas.
And we were making great progress, at least a lot of progress before this. And, of course, where is this information coming from? The World Health Organization, which we've announced that we want to leave. But, of course, if Biden gets elected, he can undo that. That doesn't go into effect for a year.
He's promised on day one back into the World Health Organization. New HIV infections are reported to be down in Eastern and Southern Africa, which is good news, but they are up in Latin America, the Middle East, North Africa, Eastern Europe, and Central Asia. Not good.
The most exciting news, I think, was that they released a study of this long-acting injectable form of HIV prevention that outperforms the pill, the Truvada, in an NIH study. You get it once every 8 weeks. It's called cabotegravir, and you don't have to take it for another 8 weeks, and it does better than taking the pills every day, which a lot of people have trouble with.
And then also stunning, a story out of Brazil. A young man, patient, had HIV. They put him on a new drug regimen. They sort of blasted him with more powerful drugs. And then he stopped taking the drugs, and he has tested negative for 15 months. The idea of these drugs was to drive the virus out of the reservoirs where it remains usually is suppressed by good drugs, and then you just live a pretty normal life with the virus suppressed. But now this case, they say they may have eradicated the virus. This has only happened a couple of times before as the result of a stem cell transplant and a bone marrow transplant. This would be quite stunning if they could do it.
It would be stunning, but, you know, that I read a story just today, follow-up stories, that they haven't even tested to make sure that he absolutely didn't take his drugs for the last 15 months.
There's that. Also, they had a number of people in this study.
Five.
And he's the only one out of five that it worked on, and there are 30 others who were similarly treated and also failed to eradicated. They're now going to try with more people, but, you know, one guy out of 35, we'll see. You have to follow people a long time.
We would love a cure.
Sure.
We have effective treatment. We just have to get it into everybody's hands. And we have a treatment that can prevent you from getting HIV if you don't have it.
Yes, most importantly. They were also studying the effectiveness of a two-drug combination instead of a three-drug combination, which is what a lot of people take now. And they found that there was no difference in suppression of the virus. The two drugs suppressed it just as well. But there was more inflammation as a result of being on the two-drug regimen instead of the three-drug regimen. And that's not good news.
In San Francisco, the Board of Supervisors is revisiting regulations. They're having a hearing on Thursday that closed the bathhouses in the 1980s. Given the advent of PrEP, the city health officials say they would not object to gay bathhouses reopening with private rooms.
They're not open at the moment because of COVID, but they're down to just two bathhouses currently. But if the COVID disappears and bathhouses can reopen on with looser rules, there may be a new revived bathhouse industry.
I believe it never went away in New York completely.
Right. And the ones that are open or were open before COVID were newer and had a sort of mixture of rules. They didn't shut them down by law, but they imposed so many restrictions that the bathhouses ended up shutting down voluntarily because they just couldn't operate under the rules that were imposed. So some did eventually, but nothing now. But finally, 35 years later, they're going to rescind those rules. Perhaps.
Of course, I hope people will still use protection to avoid other STIs.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Entertainment news?
Well, the Walk the Moon lead singer. We have a picture of him, Nicholas Petrica, P-E-T-R-I-C-C-A. I should have figured that out before. Has proudly come out as bisexual to his 100,000 Instagram followers. Did it on the last day of Pride Month. He said, by passing as a cisgender straight guy, that afforded him a life of privilege. He said,
Really?
didn't have to put up with any name calling or bullying or hardship around my sexuality. He says his heart is with LGBTQ people who have had a much more challenging experience. And then he quoted Harvey Milk on how coming out changes all that.
And he's 33, so, you know, give him a little leeway there. But perhaps a little braver. In Dallas, Kai, K-A-I, Shapley was a young girl who came out some years ago as trans in her elementary school. She was horribly harassed. So much so that her mother had moved from Dallas to Austin to give her a better experience in a more accepting school. And so that was okay. Well, now Netflix is producing, or has produced, it's now playing on Netflix, the series The Babysitter's Club, based on the very popular novel series. And in episode 4, Kai Shapley shows up playing a young trans girl who is harassed in school. They came to her, asked her whether she wanted to play this role. She was thrilled. And so now there she is in The Babysitter's Club on Netflix, which has gotten some great reviews. I never read the books, but I might have to watch the series.
So that that global pride thing that was online for 26 hours on Christopher Street Liberation Day, they're saying it was joined by 57 million people. It had 57 million hits. Of course, even I came in and out, as did many other people. But they're working on getting permissions to archive most of it. It went out to 163 countries, and there is some good stuff in there. How about the Reclaim Pride video? Is that going to be is that online and still available?
Stay tuned. We have possible announcements on that. And so I won't comment on the global pride thing because it's sort of a conflict of interest. But
oh, no, we're all in this together.
Well, whatever. And I want to thank the New York Times for doing an obituary on Angela Madsen, 60 years old. She was a Paralympian and a lesbian. Wait a minute, am I reading this right? Yes, I think so. She died at 60. She had lived on the streets for a while. She was rowing around the world, and she had had cancer. She'd had a double mastectomy. And she met Deborah Moeller, a social worker, in 2007 when Deborah brought a disabled and abused child to Angela's adaptive rowing program. They married in 2013. Angela is survived by her wife, and it's a very moving obituary that the New York Times did.
They also did Carl Heinrich Ulrichs, who died in 1895. The New York Times was around then, but they didn't cover him then.
Well, I've got this whole series going of obituaries we neglected to print.
Because they didn't like gay people. And this guy is somebody in the mid-19th century who stood up at professional forums and said, stop persecuting these people, himself, of course. And he was shouted down and thrown out of town and all that kind of stuff, but he did it. And these are the people who paved the way for us.
He said it was very natural. It's all inborn. There's nothing. Don't make judgments about it. Sorry, we didn't know him.
Well, we're down to our last 15 seconds. We thank you for being with us.
Sorry, it was a little herky-jerky today, but we'll be back next week.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.